Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. This story is The Anger Monster, an original story by Marlene Werfel for Tales from the Lily Pad, inspired by a Buddhist allegory. Once there was a servant boy who lived in a beautiful castle surrounded by lush jungle, tall palms, and moats teeming with lily pads. The castle was full of important men and women with important jobs. Their jobs were so important that the servant boy didn't even know what they did. It looked like nothing at all except hurrying around in impressive hats and swirling robes and addressing each other with formal titles. They were chancellors, chiefs, and ministers. They were chamberlains, priors, and treasurers. The servant boy was not important. He had the lowliest job in the castle, which was to empty chamber pots into the castle moats. The chamber pots were heavy and stinky, and everybody plugged their nose and looked down in disgust as the servant boy walked by. "Nobody should see you carrying chamber pots," said the steward. "In this beautiful castle, you should be invisible." The servant frowned at the steward. "You should be invisible," he said back, and he stomped his foot and jutted out his chin. The steward gasped and whispered something to the prior, who whispered something to the chancellor. They all shook their heads at the servant boy. "Disrespectful," said the prior. "Insolent," said the chancellor. "You must not walk through the castle halls with chamber pots," said the steward. "Take the long way. Carry the pots out the closest door and walk outside the castle with them." The boy sulked when he heard this. He would have to walk past all the monks who meditated just outside the castle from sunrise to sunset, and he didn't like the monks at all. They just sat there, cross-legged, staring right through him, and never smiled or said anything, even if he waved and said, "Hello there." But things got even worse for the servant boy, because then the prior said he would talk to the master of dogs and assign one of the king's guard dogs to follow him around from now on, since he was disrespectful and insolent, to make sure he didn't fall out of line. The king's guard dogs were frightening and impressive. They growled and lunged just outside the castle walls where the soldiers marched. The king's army surrounded the beautiful moats full of lily pads with frogs singing in them that surrounded the castle. Monks meditated just outside the castle walls. The monks surrounded the moats, and just beyond the moats were soldiers and dogs keeping the king and his castle safe. The soldiers wore spiked armor, and the dogs wore spiked collars. The soldiers wore gleaming helmets with feathery plumes, and they commanded the snarling dogs. The servant boy wondered if the guard dog would obey him like the dogs obeyed the soldiers. That might make him feel important. He decided he would like a big mastiff dog with a big snarl. Someday, thought the servant boy, he would like to be important. Not like the monks who meditated, or the servants who cleaned up, and not like the army who marched with spears and spiky armor, but like the general who commanded the army. When the general yelled, "March," the army marched. When the general yelled, "Kneel," the army kneeled. And when the general yelled, "Attention," every one of the soldiers stopped to obey. The servant boy imagined that would feel good. "Attention," he yelled at the frogs singing in the moat. The frogs stopped singing for an instant, then resumed their frog songs. "March!" he shouted, but the frogs did not fall into formation. Maybe the boy really was invisible. The master of dogs introduced the dog assigned to follow the servant boy around. It was not a mastiff, and not at all an impressive dog, but a wiener dog, with one ear missing and a severe underbite. The dog's eyes didn't quite look in the same direction, and all the dog did was wag his tail. "Sit," said the boy, and the dog wagged his tail. "Roll over," said the boy, and the dog wagged his tail. "Stop following me around," said the boy, and the dog wagged his tail and kept following the boy. The boy could clearly see the worst dog in the king's guard was assigned to keep an eye on him because he was the least important person in the castle. One day, the most important man in the castle, the king, left. He set off into the lush green jungle, carried in a sedan, followed by a train of his best and most important men and women. "I am going on a sabbatical to a faraway kingdom. Take good care of my things while I'm gone," said the king. "Yes, your highness, everything will be just as you left it," promised the treasurers, ministers, chamberlains, and chiefs. And for a time, it was. But one day, as the servant boy crept past the throne room, trying to remain unseen, with the little one-eared wiener dog wagging his tail after him, he heard the steward shouting at the head housekeeper that there was a spot on the king's throne. "How did it get there?" demanded the steward. "I don't know," said the head housekeeper. "Well, get rid of it or you will be fired." The housekeeper tried everything on the spot. Vinegar, baking soda, lemons and limes, salt and pepper, sparkling water, and red wine. The housekeeper scrubbed, shouted, and swore, and just before the steward could say, "You're fired," the head housekeeper pointed at the head maid and said, "It must be her fault." And the head maid pointed at the chamberlain and said, "It must be his fault." And the chamberlain pointed at the head launderer and said, "It must be his fault." And he pointed at the scullery maid and said, "It must be her fault." Then she pointed at the servant boy and said, "But it must have been his fault. He's the one who carries filth around the castle." "It wasn't me. I haven't set foot in the throne room," insisted the servant boy. "Then who?" The servant boy looked around him for someone to blame, but there was just the dog wagging his tail. "Maybe it was this dumb dog," said the servant boy. The dog looked up at him with big, adoring eyes. "Disrespectful," said the boy. The dog licked the boy's hand. "Insolent," the boy said. The steward looked from the dog to the servant to the head housekeeper to the spot and gasped. The spot was twice as big as it had been before. It was more of a blob, really, even though the steward had been cleaning it all day. The head housekeeper was promptly fired, and he left shouting about how none of this was his fault. The spot must have snuck past all the lazy guards, and good luck keeping the castle clean without him. They didn't stand a chance. "We'll see about that," said the steward, who himself tried to get rid of the spot. He dabbed it with coconut milk, swabbed it with tea tree oil, and when that didn't work, he swore and shouted, then steamed, burnished, pumiced, and had the throne reupholstered by a master craftsman. But the spot only got bigger and blobbier, and it began to smell bad, too. "How can this be?" railed the steward. "You call yourself a master craftsman when you can't even upholster over a little spot?" "A little spot," shouted the craftsman. "Look, it's so big it fills the whole throne." The spot had more than doubled in size and was sitting up in the throne, cross-legged and growling. It smelled terrible and filled the boy and everyone with a strange sense of dread. "Get the general, said the steward. Preposterous, said the general. You don't use soldiers to fight a spot of filth. How disrespectful. Why doesn't your housekeeper take care of it? But as the general and a few of his best soldiers watched, the spot grew and grew, and they pulled out their swords. They circled the spot and swung their weapons at it. They slashed and they punched and they parried. But the spot grew and grew and grew. When the soldiers were exhausted, they backed away. The spot had grown larger than the whole throne by now. It nearly filled the throne room, and it smelled so terrible everyone had tears in their eyes and had to hold their noses closed. Call in the dogs, said the general to his soldiers. The king's guard dogs growled and lunged and tore at the spot. But the more they attacked, the bigger the spot grew, until it filled the whole throne room and began to stick out into the hallway. The steward shouted at the general, and the general shouted at the steward, and the prior said they should both be fired, and when the king returned, they would have a lot of explaining to do. When the important people with important jobs had stormed off, blaming each other, the servant boy and the dog were still there watching the spot. The dog looked up at the spot with big adoring eyes and wagged his tail, and the boy thought he noticed the spot get a little smaller. The dog licked the spot and curled up at its feet. The boy was sure he saw the spot get smaller and smaller as the little dog cuddled closer and closer. By morning time, the spot was quite small and sat demurely on the king's throne. But the steward returned with chemicals and flamethrowers and waged war on the spot once more. It grew and grew and grew until it was so noxious everyone ran out of the castle, holding on to their stomachs, gasping for air. The monks kept meditating. They didn't seem to notice anything was amiss, even though the guard dogs were barking and the soldiers were shouting in the courtyard and the housekeepers were fighting with the maids who were fighting the clerics, who were fighting with the assistants to the ministers, who were fighting with the cooks, who were fighting with the bean counters, and on and on. That's when the king returned from his pilgrimage. He was wearing a new suit of exotic silk with a very large feather tucked into his crown, and he looked quite relaxed and had a suntan. "What is going on here?" he asked his chancellor. But his chancellor was busy pushing the prior into the moat. The servant boy caught the king's attention by ahemming. "Your Highness," he said, "I can tell you what's going on. There's a monster in your castle that somehow snuck past the guards and the dogs and the monks and all your other staff and started sitting on your throne. When your staff found it, they became angry, and that fed the monster. It lives on anger. The angrier people get, the bigger and more powerful it becomes. But if you try kindness, Your Highness, it will shrink the monster. I know because I saw this little dog here shrink the monster when everyone else failed." The king looked at the humble servant boy with his dirty clothes and shoeless feet, and he looked at the little dog beside him whose eyes didn't point in the same direction and who had a missing ear and a severe underbite. The dog looked back at the king with adoring eyes and wagged his tail. "Preposterous," shouted the king. "And why would I listen to a servant boy with the most ridiculous dog I have ever seen?" He threw back his head and laughed. "Ninjas," commanded the king, "attack the monster in my castle." And the king's ninjas, who had been following him stealthily through the jungle, dropped down from the trees, swung into the courtyard, silently leapt over the moat, somersaulted into the throne room, and fought the anger monster. But the anger monster easily swallowed up the ninjas, and then it swallowed up the king. Most of the king's soldiers had deserted the castle by now, and the king's guard dogs had run off howling into the jungle. Those who fought were consumed by the enormous anger monster. Those who did not were unscathed. And so the beautiful castle was quite deserted, except for the boy and his dog, except for the monks who meditated, except for the happy chef and the jolly musicians and the kindliest mechanics and doctors and farmers and philosophers and artists and the frogs singing in the moats. The anger monster got smaller and smaller and smaller until it was really quite manageable, sitting quietly on the empty throne. If it ever started growing large and reeking or wandering around the castle, the people would simply say, "Hello, anger monster. How nice to see you. You must be here to teach me something. How kind of you. What a wonderful stinky blob you are. I'm so glad you're here for us. What would we do without you?" And the stinky blob would slink off into the garden, where the dog would bring it a ball, and the monk stopped meditating from sunrise to sundown and started telling stories and jokes and playing games, and they installed a sophisticated hydraulic plumbing system. Lotus flowers bloomed in the moats and filled the castle with a lovely perfume. And the boy told the dog to sit, but the dog just wagged his tail. And the boy told the dog to roll over, and the dog wagged his tail and licked the boy's hand. And the boy told the frogs in the moat to stand at attention, and they just kept singing. And all around them, the jungle was lush with flowers.